Good morning.
Good morning.
I always picture the Lord's Day right after a wedding, a very special day, because after you have witnessed the union between one man and one woman and enjoyed the good time of a banquet, and today you have come to the house of the Lord and to experience for yourself the union between you and Jesus, and to have a pretaste of the sweetness of the marriage between you and Jesus. There's no better way to experience the sweetness of Jesus Christ than to imagine us in a marital relationship with Him. So today I pray, I hope that I can lead you, I can help you see the splendor, the glory, the loveliness of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And our text today is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. You can find this text on the page 1198 of your Pew Bible. This is a short but powerful passage. In just three verses, the author gives us a strong exhortation to draw near to the throne of grace. Now please pay attention to the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. For our Father in heaven, we have come to your throne, and we need your help to show us, to help us understand your word, and through your word to receive mercy and find grace, to know you, to know Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, our high priest. In his name we pray. Amen. The Christian life is often compelled to a race. In Paul's epistles, he constantly refers to his ministry as a race to reach the goal and get the prize. And that's why he said famously at the end of his life, "I have finished the race." But the race energy is not just Paul's jargon. In the epistle to the Hebrews, the author also uses running imagery to describe our Christian life. In chapter 4, he writes, "Let us strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the wayside." In chapter 12, he writes again, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So it's a biblical expression when we say life as a race. Moreover, we recognize the race, the life is not a marathon, and we also recognize that this race of life is a marathon, not a sprint. Because it's a race that requires more endurance than speed. more perseverance than power. It's a race that we will have to run only once, but a race that we have to run throughout our whole life. So we need to remind beginners that the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint, so that they will not exhaust energy before reaching the finish line and faint on the way. However, there is also a reminder for experienced runners. Yes, you may have known that life is a marathon, not a sprint, and you may have known that you need to keep a steady pace in your life. But you may forget that there is a time to sprint, even in a marathon. There is a time to sprint, even in a marathon. For in our text today, in Hebrews 4, verses 16, we are told, "Let us draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In our marathon toward the heavenly city, God provides us a shortcut to his throne of grace, and this shortcut is prayer. God gives us this privilege of prayer because he knows that we can wait to enjoy his presence only at the end of the race. We cannot wait to receive his mercy and grace only at the finish line. For there is a time when we need to come to him immediately, and there is time for us to sprint to the throne of grace, even in a marathon. But the question is, when is that time? When is the time for us to sprint? And verse 16 gives us the answer: in time of need. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need. In Greek, it's only one word, eukairon. And you can even guess the meaning of this Greek word. For the prefix eu means good, just as it appears in the English word eulogy. And the root kairon is actually the adjective form of kairos, which means time, a specific point of time. Therefore, the literal translation for eukairon would be at the good time, or just one word, timely. And the majority of English Bible translators find it appropriate to render this single word as in time of need. Because the best time for you to receive help is when you need it the most, when you are in time of need. And it's so obvious that you don't seem to need a sermon to remind you about praying in time of need. And there seems no challenge for you to come to the throne of grace in your time of need. Isn't it our natural tendency to come to God whenever we are in trouble or in need? But I want to point to you a striking phenomenon, a ridiculous pattern, that there is a time of need. There is a time when you are in desperate need of God's mercy. There's a time of your utmost need, and you are unwilling to come to the throne of grace. And you may be wondering, when is that time? It's not the time when you are facing severe persecution. It's not the time when you are going through intense pain. It's not the time when you are grieving over your beloved one. And it's not the time when you are fighting against a temptation. But when is the time? It's a time after you have been overcome by the temptation. It's a time after you have failed to subdue your sin. It's a time when you realize that you did that same old thing again and you are overwhelmed with guilt and shame. The conviction of sin is so deep that you don't want to name your sin. The feeling of shame is so fresh that you don't want to talk to anyone about it. The hatred of self is so strong that you don't believe that you deserve God's mercy. And the wrath of God is so hot that you dare not come to His throne. Maybe it's when you wake up from an overnight drunkenness. Maybe it's when you shut your computer after watching pornography. Maybe it's after you have a fight with your spouse. And maybe after you lose your temper before your kids. So let your memory bring you back to that embarrassing moment when you felt that you disappointed yourself and failed God. When you were a total mess in an utter misery. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it just happened recently. Or maybe it's likely to happen again in the future. If you are a parent, you might still remember the scene when your child made a mess of him or herself. When an explosion happened and the poop was all over the place. You might find that yellowish stuff on the carpet, on his clothes, in his hands, and even around his mouth. And maybe you still have that fresh memory of your child in that situation. But do you remember the last time when you yourself were in such a horrible, messy condition? When your sin explodes and you are covered with that disgusting filth of sin, and you have no way of cleaning it by yourself. You are a mess, and you are in a time of urgent need of your Heavenly Father's help. Brothers and sisters, among all of God's mercies for us, I think we have no greater need than the need of His forgiveness. Nevertheless, when we are in time of this greatest need, when we are in time of this need of forgiveness, His forgiveness, we tend to delay our confession. We are slow to seek God's forgiveness of our sins. And we are more comfortable to live with our poop than to draw near to the throne of grace. In our scripture reading this day, we find that in the Old Testament dispensation, the high priest can come to the holy place, to the mercy seat, only once a year to atone for his own sin and the sin of Israel. But in our age, in our dispensation, God provides us such a privilege that we can come to him every day whenever we need to confess our sin and to receive his forgiveness. And yet we are not willing to come We despise this privilege, and we often delay our confession. So how long will you start to realize that your sin is so disgusting and that hiding your sin is so ridiculous? Delay no more. Spring to God. Spring to His throne of grace in your time of need. But our text does not stop here. Yes, you have stumbled. Yes, you are in your utmost need. And you must come to the throne of grace for forgiveness of your sins. But the more amazing truth of the gospel is not that not only you must come to God, but that you are welcome to come to Him. And you shall come to Him with confidence. Verse 16 says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace." You should be confident that you are most welcome to come to God when you are in your most sinful and miserable condition. Right after you have committed an abhorrent sin in the sight of God, when you are still overwhelmed with guilt and shame, God wants you to come to Him boldly and not timidly, with confidence and without hesitation. I know this sounds opposite to our trend, to our nature, and as a regular sinner, my customary style to draw near to the throne of grace is not to spring, but to sneak. I want to put enough safe space between my transgression and my confession. I need time to prepare myself for meeting God face to face. And I think maybe God also needs time to let His anger cool down a little bit. So only when I am ready, and only when I think God is ready, would I sneak to the throne of grace, hoping that I could safely reach the base before God calls me out. So too often we draw near to the throne of grace as if to steal the base in a baseball game. When we have sinned, we want to move from the space of sin to the space of grace. We want to move from the base of sin to the base of grace. But somehow we often picture God as the baseman who doesn't want us to advance to the next base. So we always wait for the right timing. We intend to catch God off guard, and we try to sneak back to the throne of grace and steal the base. But we don't need to sneak. For our text tells us to draw near to the throne of grace with all confidence. So you don't need to steal the base like those. So you don't need to sneak like the one who tries to steal the base. But you can spring like the one who has hit the ball. You can spring to the throne of grace without delay. You can spring to the throne of grace with all your strength, and you can spring to the throne of grace with confidence. So when your child has a poop explosion, you would want him to come to you immediately. And likewise, when you have sinned, your Heavenly Father wants you to come to Him, to spring to Him, naked, filthy, and stinky, but with all confidence. He will not reject you because of your filthiness. On the contrary, He will have mercy on you on account of your filthiness. He will not tolerate the poop to stay on you any longer, but he is more than willing to wash away your mess, to purge you with hyssop, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, brothers and sisters, spring to the throne of grace with confidence, even when you are stained with sin and you look like a mess. But well, at the ground of your confidence, for we know that God is a compassionate Father, but don't forget, He is also a righteous judge. A compassionate Father is willing to wash you clean, but a righteous judge is obliged to punish you for your sin. So what's the reason for your confidence that when you draw near to the judgment seat, you will not die for your sin? And our text also gives us the answer, because we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. What kind of a high priest do we have? Verse 14 says, He has passed through the heavens. And verse 15 says, He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. And this is our high priest. Because he has passed through, so now we can draw near. Because he is able to have sympathy, therefore now we are able to have confidence. I have never been to a court, and the closest experience I have had to a court hearing is when I have to stand before the presbytery to be examined whether I was qualified for a ministry. And I was scared every time when I have to take a presbytery exam. But I was relieved when I saw my seminary professor sitting down there, because I knew that even if I screwed up, they would speak for me. And I became even more confident when I found Matthew Ma, who is my Chinese pastor at North Hills, because he also was a Chinese. And so he was able to sympathize with me. He was able to understand the cultural barrier, the linguistic challenge that I had to experience. Because of his presence, I became more confident to stand before the presbytery. However, this is not what this text means here. For when you come before God, Jesus is not there to plead mercy for you. When you come to God, Jesus is not there to make a bargain on your behalf. He is there to guarantee your acquittal. He is there to close your case. He's not even interested to pull out your criminal record. He doesn't bother to show your evidence of repentance. As your advocate, he only has one argument, and here this is his argument. I have paid for this man's sin. Therefore, it's unjust to punish the same act of sin a second time. So Pastor Ma could not tell the presbytery to let me pass, because he himself has passed the exams. But Jesus can tell the Father to let us go, because he himself has suffered the punishment. Because there is a bonding between Jesus and us, which is much stronger than the relationship between me and Pastor Ma. Indeed, stronger than any human relationship. Because Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, he offered up himself as a sacrifice once for all to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God. He was tempted in all things as we are, not that we might resist every temptation as he was able to, but primarily for the reasons that when we fail, when we lose, he might credit his righteousness to our account. He might impute his righteousness to ourselves. By the means of his blood, he has passed through the heavens. By the means of his blood, he has turned the judgment seat into the mercy seat. And by the means of his blood, we can spring to the throne of grace, not to find punishment and receive wrath, but to receive mercy and find grace. O sinners, make your confession if you have not yet, and hold fast your confession if you have made it. And then let us spring to the throne of grace only through the high priest, only by the means of blood. And we are confident that we will surely receive from God the forgiveness of our sins. Our text tells us that Jesus has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. But this is not to say Jesus is a stranger to sin. On the contrary, no one is more familiar with the curse of sin than he was. For the Son of God came to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. He who knew no sin became sin for our sake. On the cross, the Word incarnate became the sin incarnate. On the cross, the beloved Son of the Father became the object of the Father's wrath. So fix your mind on the cross. When the iniquities of us all was laid on him, when he was overwhelmed with the sense of guilt and the experience of shame, when he even cried out, "Father, God, God, why have you forsaken me?" Even at this darkest moment, even at his weakest time, he was still able to say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So, brothers and sisters, commit your spirit into God's hands. Spring to the throne of grace. Even when you have fallen into temptation and you are overwhelmed with guilt and shame, even when you are crossing the river of death, and when the memory of all the sins you have committed in your life comes back to you like flood coming up to your neck, even at that time, commit your spirit to God and spring to his throne of grace. Fix your eyes on the cross and let us spring to the throne of grace in our time of need. Let us spring to the throne of grace with all confidence. And let us spring to the throne of grace through our great high priest. Let us pray. Let us come to his throne of grace and pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we regret the fact that we often don't spring to your throne of grace when we have sinned against you. We don't spring to you in time of our utmost need of your forgiveness. But now as we have come to your throne of grace, we ask for your forgiveness of the sins of our slowness to seek your forgiveness. And we have the confidence that even now, in spite of our delay and hesitation, you are still more than willing to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So for the sake of our great high priest, forgive us, O Father. And in the name of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, we pray for your forgiveness. Amen.